Powered through the Alaska Airlines studios.
This is Bump and Stacy
on Seattle Sports.
Streaming through the Seattle Sports app.
Now, here are your hosts, Michael Bumpus and Stacy Ross.
Here we go now.
Welcome back to the Bump and Stacy show. We got Michael Bumpus, myself, and my guy Curtis Rogers filling in for Stacy. Now, we were going to talk to Dave Wyman at 1 o'clock, but he is busy doing what he does, interviewing players down in Peoria. So we'll be sure to ask him about that. So we're running an audible. Omaha, Omaha. All right. We're going to go to the station. The hype train. All right. Now, I always talk crap to Stacy for explaining how this game works, but sitting in the lead seat, I understand now. I understand,
it's weird,
Curtis.
How that works.
So this is what's going to happen. I'm just going to give you some random quote, fact, scenario. If you agree with what I'm saying,
yeah.
A take. If you like what I'm saying, then you're boarding the hype train. If not, you're letting that train go by. You're sitting down having what you say. What do you always get? A bagel, a pretzel? What is it that you always
a
say?
Cinnabon.
Yeah. All right. You're sitting at the station. You're getting a Cinnabon. All right. You ready, Brady B? Let's get it. All right, here we go. Well, we'll see a few new faces under center this year, and we're all wondering who's going to break out. Here's your hype train. The best first-time starting quarterback this year won't be C.J. Stroud or Bryce Young. It'll be Jordan Love. What do you think, Rodgers?
Some first-time starting quarterback. That kind of changes the goalpost here a little bit. You're throwing Jordan Love into the discussion with C.J. Stroud, Bryce Young, Will Levis, Anthony Richardson, potentially. I don't know. Jordan Love does not have the kind of weapons to throw to that Aaron Rodgers had at his peak. Like, who's the best receiver the Packers have? Was it Murphy?
Lazard's gone. Is it Romeo?
Romeo Dobbs?
Dobbs.
Or who's the guy they got from North Dakota State last year?
Sky Moore? That's not Sky Moore. No. Watson. Yeah, Watson.
I think Watson can be good. Mm-hmm. I don't think he is an elite-level receiver yet. And honestly, if Jordan Love were, like, really good, I feel like he would have become a starter prior to year four. He would have forced the Packers' hand in moving on from Aaron Rodgers. I am going to let this train go by. I think the best first-time starting quarterback this season will be C.J. Stroud with the Carolina Panthers.
All right, he's letting that train go by. He says C.J. is going to get her done. Brady B., what you think?
Well, for me, I mean, I've seen working a lot of these shows and covering a lot of stuff. I don't hear too much about Jordan Love. I hear more about C.J. Stroud and Bryce Young, and I don't quite know. I mean, could Jordan Love do better than Bryce Young and C.J. Stroud? Maybe, but how will it be portrayed from the media if Jordan Love's doing good, Bryce Young, C.J. Stroud are kind of doing okay? Are they going to get the upper edge just for being those high notoriety guys? So I will not be hopping on this train.
Brady B will not be hopping on this train, man. The hype train is the best first-time starting QB this year. Won't be C.J. Stroud or Bryce Young. It'll be Jordan Love. I'm going to go out and say, I'm not hopping on this train either. I just don't know what Jordan Love could do. He's equivalent to a rookie in this league. And you talk about the weapons that he has. He has no real weapons over there. We talked about Watson. You got Romeo Dobbs as well. I think he's going to look like a first-time rookie, which evens the playing field. I look at these three, and I'm with the both of you, or at least with Curtis, where I say, all right, CJ, you're going to get it done. Next hype train. All right, the more success for Pac-12 schools, the better for all of us, right? But our loyalty to a couple programs is ending soon anyway. So, sorry, Bruins, but this is the hype train. Zags will beat UCLA today. Curtis Rogers.
As an Arizona alum, there are two schools I can never root for in any capacity.
Mm-hmm.
Arizona State and UCLA. Go Zags, baby.
Go
Gonzaga.
Zags.
I will be rooting so hard for them tonight to beat UCLA. UCLA's got a lot of injuries right now. Jalen Clark is out for the rest of the year. Edem Bona, their center, he is banged up. You've got David Singleton, who rolled his ankle in round two at the end of their game, throwing his status into question for tonight. Those three guys are huge contributors when fully healthy to this UCLA ball club. I just think the injuries that they've sustained over the last couple weeks are going to catch up to them at some point. And this Gonzaga team is battle-tested. Drew Timmy has played in so many big games in his career. He's gone to a Final Four. He's gone to a national championship game. He's never played... he's never gotten eliminated before the Sweet 16. Eight straight Sweet 16s. I believe that is the third longest streak in NCAA history. I think the Zags get it done tonight. They beat UCLA and move on to the Elite Eight. I believe they would face the winner of... I forget who's in their region. I think it's like Arkansas against UConn. So whoever wins that one would face the winner of that game. I think the Zags get it done tonight. Brent Stecker listening to his radio right now saying, he doesn't want me to jinx him, but I think Gonzaga gets it done. So I am boarding this train, Brady.
Boarding the train. Curtis says, Zags get her done. Brady Bones, what you thinking?
Well, I know that at least in my family, mainly my mom, she's a diehard Gonzaga fan. So all right. If I said anything else when I go home tonight, it's not going to be a warm reception. So I am 100% going to be hopping on this train saying Gonzaga, taking down those Bears, go Zags.
All right, I'm looking at ESPN. Matchup predictor. They have UCLA with a 64.9% chance to win. Over-under is 145 points, and UCLA are their favorite by 1 point. I look at this matchup. Now, I grew up in West LA, right down the street from UCLA, about 10 minutes south of UCLA. And I've become very fond of Eastern Washington, Spoke Compton. Used to go to school down the road in Pullman. I look at this situation and I go, this is the pedigree, man. You got Timmy over there. Timmy's been on this team for like 6-7 years, it feels like. Averaging 21 points per game, 62% from the field. They go to the Sweet Six. They get out of the Sweet 16. This is what they do. This is what the Zags do. So you know what? I'm going to board the train as well, and I'm going to say the Zags are getting it done tonight against UCLA. I'm on that train. Right.
We got time for one more train before we get to Dave 1.
Okay. Uno mas. Opening day is a week away, so let's get to predictions for this difficult feat. Your hype train. A current Mariner starter will throw a no-hitter before Julio hits for the cycle.
Yeah, I'll board that train. You want to know why? Because hitting for the cycle is way more rare than throwing a no-hitter.
Right.
I think we will see a Mariners pitcher throw a no-hitter. I don't know if this season, they've got multiple guys who could do it, for sure. But I don't think anybody's hitting for the cycle before somebody throws it for a no-hitter. Because we see, at least 3 or 4 no-hitters a season now.
Mm-hmm.
How many cycles do we see?
Can't take the last one.
A couple, if that.
All right, Curtis Rogers. He's on it.
Math.
It's just math. Yeah. Just mathing over here. What you got, Bones?
Well, considering the last time that any Mariner, I think, hit for the cycle was Alex Rodriguez back in the early days. So I can't say that that's going to happen too much. And the way I break it down is a pitcher, when he goes out, guaranteed has the opportunity to go all the way and do a no-hitter. A batter, depending on how the offense is rolling, could only get 3 at-bats, therefore could not hit for the cycle. So I am hopping on this trip. Wait, what was it? Someone will?
We'll throw a no-hitter before a cycle.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Getting on that train.
The Brady Bones baseballing over there. Yeah. Talking that baseball talk. I'm on the train as well. Somebody's going to get it done. It's tough for Julio to do that. And you know what? Is Dave ready? Is he ready to
go? He's ready.
All right.
He's down there.
Oh. Let's go to Dave Wyman joining us from Peoria.
We got to buy some time here.
All right, my bad, Brady B.
Yeah, Brady's got to be in two places at once. Hardest working man in show business is Brady Robick, but we'll get Dave on the line momentarily. But Bump, looking at this, looking at just this Mariners team right now, because we bring in Dave Wyman, who's been down in Peoria all week. They've only got 2 more shows left from Peoria over the course of this week, so make sure you're tuning in to Wyman and Bob following us today. But last night, George Kirby's performance was incredible, going 5 no-hit innings against your Dodgers. Mm-hmm. I hate to see your boys in blue there.
It's okay. Spring. Doesn't matter.
That's true. That's right. You can throw that out there whenever you feel like it prior to the start of the season where it's like, these stats, they don't matter. They don't matter.
All right. Well, it doesn't matter.
You know, but it matters. Yeah, it does matter.
But we got Dave Wyman, man. Dave, What's going on?
Hey, guys. How are you?
We are well, man. How is Arizona treating you so far? You got two more shows out there, and then you're back to reality. Tell me about it.
Yeah, it's just flown by, Bump. I mean, we're having such a good time. We just recorded an interview with Tom Murphy, which Murphy, by the way, looks like he could be an inside linebacker for the Seahawks, man. He worked his tail off.
We need one.
Yeah, I know. So, yeah, we've been just, you know, doing lots of interviews. The Mariners have just treated us so well. We're sitting right outside the locker room where everybody comes out. We got Taylor Trammell. You know, we've got, Service and DePoto. And, man, it's Logan Gilbert. It's been really fun. I think the one guy I still want to talk to is Cal. Cal is one of our favorites, and I'm sure we'll get him. But, yeah, it's just been awesome down here. And this team is really, I don't know, they're very connected as far as, you know, the camaraderie and everything like that. I just heard, like, the best news. So I was asking Murphy, I'm like, who do you give? You know, you bond when somebody's giving you crap, right, in the locker room or whether it's in the sports pit, right? Like, I give C-Raj a hard time because I love him, not because he's a jerk, you know? And so I asked, I go, who do you, who do you give crap to? And he goes, oh, Kelnick. Absolutely. And
nice.
I'm like, really? And I'm like, yeah, I think that might be the best thing I've heard, that he takes it. And, you know, he's one of the guys. I mean, he comes off as a super intense dude. But, yeah, it's just a really, really good culture. Not to mention they just have some really good players.
Dave, does Tom Murphy have the best linebacker eyes of anybody on the team?
He's scary, man. He is. But he couldn't be a nicer guy. But, yeah, and then when he smiles, you know, it's almost like looks like a shark almost, man. He is just intense dude. Him and Bob were broing out over Slipknot, was it, Bob? You know, some of these hard rock bands. That
easy listening.
Yeah, exactly. Nice mellow music. Baby making music, you know.
Well, Dave, who's been your favorite interview this week? You guys have had quite a lot of people come through.
Well, I mean, Taylor Trammell is the first time I've got to meet him in person, and he just is like, you know, like talking to, you know, like we've known him for years. The cool thing I thought was Cooper Hummel, like the whole time he was sitting there waiting for us to get on and get set up and everything, he's got his headphones on and he's sitting there and he's got this huge smile on his face and he's looking at us like this. You could tell, like, the thought bubble above his head would have been, I'm about to get interviewed by Mariner Radio. This is awesome. You know, he really dialed in and just been a fan for a really long time. So I think, yeah, he was really good. Andres Munoz was very good. Maybe our best interview. Spoke excellent English. Very good. Very good. He just walked by. That's what I was saying. Yeah. No. But, yeah, it's hard to rank him. But I thought Cooper Hummel was cool just because the kid has been watching the Mariners since he's a little kid. He's from Portland. I think he went to Portland State. And then he, was just so thrilled to be there.
Dave, I assume you were there to witness George Kirby do his thing. What was that experience like? I know it's spring, and I've been told for weeks now to calm down, but that was fun watching him do his thing.
It really was. And, you know, the thing, I know he had an outing earlier in the year that I saw on Root Sports. I think it was against the Rockies. And, you know, it was interesting because he didn't have a good day. But afterwards, you could see that he was pissed off about it and that he had. And the thing he said is, like, I know what I did, basically. I know what I did wrong and what I need to work on. So it was really, really cool to see that happen. And, you know, I mean, look, it is spring training. But like we were saying, especially for, like, Kelnick, we're like, hey, you know, that stuff does matter, that it is clicking for you. So, yeah, cool to see him do what we saw him do last year, really. And Kirby, I mean, with him and Logan Gilbert, and that's not even talking about Luis Castillo, and Robbie Ray had, like, one of the most impressive workouts I've seen in a long time. He threw a bullpen back behind us, and it was just impressive to watch a huge dude like that. You know, the grunting, and, you know, you see how big he is and how powerful he is. So it's I mean, if you just looked at their starting rotation, you'd think this team's going to be good. But they've got a lot of other elements that, I think are going to win games for them.
Now, Dave, you guys have John Schneider coming up today on Wyman and Bob. 2 o'clock, I believe, is when that will air.
Yeah.
He's been, you know, going across country, him and Pete, the last couple days. They were at Ohio State's Pro Day yesterday. They're in Tuscaloosa, Alabama today to watch the Crimson Tide's Pro Day. What do you want to know from Schneider about the last couple days of workouts that they've seen?
You know, just seeing, you know, some of the guys, Bob and I talked about this yesterday, like, okay, well, why are they there? I mean, C.J. Stroud, or is it because of the receiver or whatever? They're there because that's what they do. They go to these pro days and they look at players, and they're not just looking at the first and second round guys. They're looking at the guys that they could get in the third and fourth and fifth. You know, you go to a place like Alabama, and they have, like, I don't know, 12 or 13 players that people think are going to be drafted. You're doing your work. And I guess that would be what I'm going to ask to talk to them about is, you know, how much of that is filling in the rest of your roster, guys that are later, draft choices. And then the other thing is, you know, maybe you don't end up getting a guy 3-4 years later, you know, he's on the free agent market, or somebody cuts him or whatever. You know everything about him, because you've already, you know, worked so hard to try to figure out, you know, what he's about. So, yeah, I think that's kind of the – everybody, you know, talks about the first couple picks and everything, but really it's the whole draft that they're working on.
Dave, what was your pro day like? What do you remember from your pro day?
You know, we didn't have a pro day back then. What we had was individual coaches coming and working us out. So I remember I had a guy from the Kansas City Chiefs, linebacker coach, that came to Stanford, and then he was having me do something like in my drop. Like, he wanted me to bust out of my drop with one step, you know, when I'm dropping back into zone coverage. Uh-huh. And I had never even thought about that. And I'm like, what do you mean? You know? And he's like, no, you're taking like 2-3 steps. I just want you to take one. And I was like, oh, okay. That was interesting to me. And I'm like, those kind of things in the NFL make a difference. You know, when you're a college player and you're a good player and you have a good year, you don't really feel like you need to fix anything.
Right.
But then when you get in the NFL, they fix everything. Like, oh, it's a 6-inch step, not a 12-inch step. And you need to go at this angle and that angle. And so, yeah, that was kind of eye-opening to me. The Seahawks did work me out. Rusty Tillman, the late, great Rusty Tillman, came and worked me out. But, we didn't really have a – I think there was – I ran a 40 for a pro day. I guess that was considered a pro day. There was a bunch of scouts there. But I didn't do any kind of workout other than the individual ones.
Dave – there have been a few names that have been mocked to the Seahawks. Anthony Richardson, I think, was mocked to them by Mel Kiper yesterday. What would be your reaction if the Seahawks went quarterback at number 5 overall? Because I think a lot of us kind of look at all the holes on defense right now and think that's the obvious fix. But what if they do go quarterback at number 5?
Yeah, Rod, I guess yesterday, like, I go back and forth, because I was like, yesterday I was going, I'm going to be pissed if they take that guy, man. They need, you know, this guy and that guy. But, you know, the other thing that we did sort of settle on is that, you know, I think they get the quarterback position. Like, John Schneider knows how to figure out who can play and who can't. I mean, you know, and same with Pete Carroll. I mean, you look at Russ, first of all. You look at Geno. You know, we don't know about Drew Locke, maybe, but they've been able to identify who is a good quarterback talent. They have not missed at that position. So I guess I'll just say, all right. He's a big dude. He's very athletic, and that's what they think. I mean, I think it's interesting. They already signed Drew Locke, but, you know, it's only a 1-year deal. So, and then, you know, the thing with Geno, they can opt out of a good deal of that salary. So, yeah, I guess I'm just going to trust him, you know, and go with it. That sounds really weird coming out. Like, oh, if they'll have my approval. Okay, guys? Yeah, that sounded like I'm cocky and I think I'm a scout or something like that. But
you know the game. You know the game.
Yeah, but I mean, look, they know it inside and out and who they need and what they need. And I guess, you know, I think that those guys have Pete and John. That's the reason why I predicted they'd be 9-8, because Pete and John. I mean, they put together a good team. It's always well coached, and they know what they're doing. So, yeah, I'll just trust them.
How do you feel about the the offseason they've had so far with the acquisitions, the guys they let go. I feel pretty good about it. I think they're doing what is necessary. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I was trying to remember like what we were thinking when they signed Michael Bennett and Cliff Averill. Cliff Averill, I think, was the bigger name at that time. And we talked to Cliff last week about that. But, you know, I think that Draymond Jones looks really good. And we talked to John last week about, you know, I asked him, hey, was that a guy maybe you wanted when the Russell Wilson trade went down? He said, absolutely. And, but they weren't willing to part with him. So, I think he's going to turn out to be maybe like a Michael. I don't want to say he's going to be a Michael Bennett type of player, but I think that might be a Michael Bennett type of signing where not a big lot of fanfare. I mean, Michael Bennett was a free agent that they cut and then he went to Tampa Bay. So yeah, I think they're slowly putting it together. I think with Devin Bush, he has a chance to get away out from underneath that shadow of first round. They moved up to get him. There were some people that thought that maybe they overdrafted him there. And so, you know, when you go somewhere on a free agent contract like he is, you kind of leave everything behind. There's nothing that, you know, you don't bring all your baggage and your dirty laundry with you. It's like, hey, you know, it's all positive. We thought enough of you to sign you and, you know, let's go. And so, you know, maybe he has like a resurgent year. That's kind of, you know, that's what they're banking on, right?
Now, Dave, this is the first time you have ever, I think, lived with Mike Lefko and Bob Stelton. Are you guys still tight? Are we going to have some issues on the ride home? Or
Well, here's what I said. I said the first thing we need to do is go get some, you know, air spray and like cleaning products, you know, so that we can still be friends at the end of the trip, you know. And so, yeah, with Bob in mind, we went to Target and got, you know, like Clorox wipes and whatnot. And with Lefko in mind, we went and got a whole bunch of food.
Because, oh, of course.
Yeah, Mike is constantly eating. And, yeah, so, but no, it's been good. We've worked out the schedule in the bathroom. We're really having a blast, man. It's been, it's been great. It really has. So, yeah, they... Yeah, we got this big, huge boat that Lefko's driving around, and it's like a Suburban. You know, it's they took really good care of us as far as all the travel arrangements. And Shannon Dreyer is just awesome. She is just she does such a great job, but she's a great hostess, and you know, been putting up with us and comes out every night and talks to us. And
she tuck you guys in.
No tucking in. No tucking in. Bedtime story.
All right, Dave, man, we appreciate your time and enjoy the rest of your time out there in the desert, sir.
Okay. Thanks, guys. Good talking to you.
See you, Dave.
All right. That was Dave Wyman on the Emerald Queen Casino Sportsbook Hotline. Celebrate Mariners opening day by joining us at our live broadcast outside of the left field gates at T-Mobile Park. We'll be live starting with the Bump and Stacey show. Then Wyman and Bob will take you all the way up to the pregame show. It's time for What's on Tap, brought to you by Dick's Drive-In.
This is What's on Tap with Bump and Stacey, brought to you by Dick's Drive-In. So, folks, what's on tap?
Here's what it is. The Mariners take on the Cincinnati Reds tonight in the Catholic League play. First pitch is at 6.05 p.m. on Seattle Sports Station. When we return, we have to call an audible, so now we are going to holler at four down territory. That is next on the Bump and Stacey show.
This is Four Down Territory, going inside the game with former Seahawks and Coug wide receiver Michael Bumpus.
Bump, first down to you. Juju Smith-Schuster, one of the newest New England Patriots. His jersey number reminded you that the NFL is always and forever will be a business. How so?
Yeah, we all know that Juju wore the Nina over there with the Kansas City Chiefs. And now he is a New England Patriot. And he said, you know what? It feels good to be wanted by a great head coach and Bill Belichick. I'm sure it does. But what doesn't feel good is going over there and not having your number. Now, he wore number 9 for the Chiefs, and Judon has that number now. And then I saw what would need to happen for Juju to get that number back. Judon would have to buy every number 9 jersey that is out in the market across all the land, hundreds of thousands of dollars for him to be able to switch his number and give it to Juju. I would assume that Juju would have to pay that to Judon because he's the one that wants the number. So Juju goes, no, I'm not going to pay a few hundred thousand to get that number. And then I'm like, hold on, NFL, you make billions of dollars a year off of these guys, off of these men. Obviously, they get paid too, but you make billions of dollars. You can't eat a couple hundred thousand?
Yeah.
They can't even. So that lets me know right there they don't care. They're like, look, we are always going to be on the green. We're not going to take a negative if we don't have to. If you want to switch now, if Junon were to go to a different team and get a different number, that'd be different. But because he's on that team and he'll switch numbers and stay on that team, the NFL goes, nah, you have to pay for that, sir.
What's interesting is that a lot of these websites where you can purchase jerseys have like a 365-day guarantee where if that player either changes numbers or gets traded elsewhere, you can exchange it for another jersey. Like, what if enough people exchange their jerseys and all they've got all these jerseys that are worth nothing now? Like, I think the NFL, that makes it a lot easier for the NFL to make this switch happen. There was a couple of years ago, I think, in the NBA, didn't LeBron and Anthony Davis want to switch jersey numbers or something like that? They wouldn't let them.
No.
Because LeBron is probably the most printed jersey in American sports.
For sure.
That's going to be a few million dollars, I think, that they would have forced him to pay, and he wasn't going to do that.
Worldwide. NFL's just domestically.
And I've heard LeBron's not a good tipper, so of course he wasn't going to pay that.
Where'd you hear that from?
I've seen it out on the internet. Yeah.
I probably tip way more than I should, and I'll have nowhere near the money LeBron has.
Always be remembered as a good tipper. That's one thing you want to be remembered as. So, of course, he wasn't going to pay that bill. These leagues, man, they will nickel and dime you.
Yes, they will.
As we found out in the NFLPA player survey. Second half. Bump, what is a rumor that you heard that would make everybody in the NFL upset?
The best quarterback in the league right now is 27-year-old Pat Mahomes. He can do no wrong. Two MVPs, two Super Bowl MVPs, two championships. And he's done that with some good receivers. He's had Tyreek Hill for one of them. Last year, you always got Travis Kelce. He's a tight end, but he's their leading receiver most of the time. Yeah, Juju last year. Hardman, who is now with the Jets. You lose Hardman, you lose Juju. So you know these guys are looking for some more help. And the streets is talking. And the streets are saying that the Chiefs are interested in Odell Beckham and DeAndre Hopkins. If Pat Mahomes were to get Odell Beckham or DeAndre Hopkins, the league is going to be frustrated. Because you saw what he did with two slightly above average receivers. Still got it done. As long as you got Travis Kelce, as long as you got Pacheco back there, as long as you got McKinnon running out the backfield, you're going to be okay. As long as you got number 15, you're going to be okay. But now you give this guy a weapon like DeAndre Hopkins. Now that's the creme de la creme. Now you talk about Odell Beckham. He's 30 years old, coming off his second knee surgery. He can still play. I'm sure you saw his videos on the Twitter, running around, catching footballs with one hand, which is reinforcing bad habits to these young kids. Two hands on the football, young kids.
It's like Steph Curry shooting from half court.
Exactly. Ruining the game. But imagine one of these two with Pat Mahomes. It just doesn't seem fair, man.
God, DeAndre Hopkins in a Chiefs uniform? Yeah, I'm already getting mad thinking about that.
Right?
That's not fair to anybody.
Not fair at all.
This must stop. We must put an end to this. Third down. Bump, how do the teams that lost in their conference championship games, that'd be the 49ers... and in the Bengals, how do they make it to the big game next year?
All right, with the Bengals, you have to protect your quarterback. I'm going to read some stats for you. The last 2 years, during the 2021 postseason, Burrow was sacked 19 times in four games, with seven of those coming in the Super Bowl loss to the Los Angeles Rams. In 2022 AFC Championship game, an offensive line that featured three backups surrendered five sacks. All right, five sacks and a 23-20 loss. You need to protect your quarterback. Guess what they did? They went out and got Orlando Brown. They should be able to do that. Now you have to keep your weapons. You got Jamar Chase. He's good until 2026, but we know that Burrow's going to get paid eventually. You're going to have to pay Chase eventually. Joe Mixon, I don't foresee him being here for a very long time, especially not a $13 million cap hit. And then you have Higgins, who's a free agent in 2024. Hey, just keep these guys as long as you can. Make sure Burrow is protected. You'll be good. The 49ers, get better on defense. That's exactly what they did. They got Hargrave over there. Enough said. Hargrave, one of the best defensive linemen in the game. And then they have to stay healthy. You got Purdy, who's nursing an elbow injury. You got McCaffrey, who has an injury history. And then Debo, who has missed games in three out of his four seasons. We know they like to run Debo as a running back. We know McCaffrey is going to get a lot of touches. And Purdy, you saw the effect of Purdy, of not having Purdy on that football team. They just look different. So the Bengals, protect your quarterback, protect your assets, and then for the 49ers, get better on defense, which they have, and then stay healthy on offense. Easier said than done.
Fourth down. Bump, there's a wide receiver in this year's draft class that you're telling us needs a bit more love. Who is it?
Man, my guy Jalin Hyatt. He has 6 receptions for 5 touchdowns and 206 against Bama. Now, it's no Georgia defense, but we all know that people flood Bama on Pro Day for a reason, because you're going to have 10 to 13 guys who are NFL caliber and ready to go over there. So whenever you see somebody do something special against Bama, you have to take note. Now, here's the thing with this guy. He's not a pure route runner. He's not going to mix you up in the red zone, get the hips going one way and go the other way. But what he is, he's a scheme type of guy. You get him in the right scheme. You get him running those deep crosses. You get those safeties biting down on the run and run a post behind him. He can do some damage, and it's deceptive because you look at his run and his gait, and it doesn't really look like he's moving. If you look at some highlights of him against Bama, watch those safeties. They're slow in their backpedal. He gets about 5 yards from them, and then they're trying to turn their hips and run. At that point, it is too late. We've heard a lot about Zay, Addison, Johnston from TCU. We need to hear more about my guy Jalin Hyatt. You get him in the right system, he can be an exceptional wide receiver in this league, Curtis Rogers.
Yeah, that Tennessee offense, Josh Heupel, their head coach, Hendon Hooker, a quarterback. Jalin Hyatt putting up huge numbers this year. Yeah, Tennessee is a team to watch in the SEC over the next couple of years, because they were very competitive this year. They beat Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
They're playing a fun brand of football in Knoxville right now.
And they got this kid out of Warren High School in California, one of the top 3 quarterbacks in the country, going to Tennessee as well. So they are reloading. All right, it's that time. What I need to know. That's up to you guys, right? 866-979-3776. Go ahead and text us what you need to know, man. If Stacey's were here, she would say, you know, it doesn't have to be sports. It can be relationship related.
Advice,
whatever you need. We are here for you. Don't forget that this hour of the Bump and Stacey Show is brought to you by Mazda of Everett. What I need to know, that's next.
Bumpin' Stacy.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
On Seattle Sports.
Here are your hosts, Michael Bumpus and Stacy Rost.
Oh, man, it's been a good show today. Dad Vibes, me, Bump, with Curtis Rogers himself, stepping from behind the glass and filling in for Stacy. Man, I've had a great time with you today, dog.
Well, thank you. It's been a lot of fun hosting. We get to do it again tomorrow.
Do it again tomorrow. So now it's time for you guys to get involved. What I need to know, 866-979-3776, are also known as Win2K, because that's what it looks like when you guys type in what I need to know. All right, first one, what I need to know. All right, what I need to know is I'm 55, and I got my first Snapchat account. I called my godson and told him. He started busting up laughing and told me I'm too old for Snapchat. Thoughts? I'll tell you right now, I'm 37 and I'm too old for Snapchat.
Yeah, look, 509. I turned 32 in about 2 weeks, and I am too old for Snapchat.
Yeah.
The pace at which things come in on Snapchat is too quick, first of all. And if you're not big into like taking selfies, it's not for you. I only continue to have my Snapchat account because there's a tabloid magazine that posts a story each morning. That's how I get caught up on my celebrity gossip.
Okay.
I just thumb through it.
I'm going to have to do that. Yeah. I have the account, but I haven't used it in so long. And I feel like, especially me being a married man, I feel like Snapchat is like, what you hiding? What you hiding? So I put the Snapchat down.
Because each text or each selfie or each picture that you send, it deletes automatically, right? After you read it.
Automatic.
You're only allowed one reread of it, I think is what it is.
That's how it works.
All right. Yeah, Snapchat, not a middle-aged man's game.
Not at all. All right, what I need to know is, thinking about taking my 5 and 10-year-old boys to an event, which would you suggest? Monster Jam, WrestleMania, or bull riding?
All right, now WrestleMania is going to cost you a lot because it's you got to travel to there.
Uh-huh.
We're talking like a hop on a flight. It may be end up being the most memorable of the 3 if you do go. But I'm going to say Monster Jam is going to be the best thing to take your 5 and 10-year-old boys to in terms of bang for your buck. I remember going to a monster truck show when I was probably about 7 or 8 years old. and still remember it to this day.
Yeah.
You had Gravedigger coming out there.
Which is still going strong.
Exactly. Bigfoot. Mm-hmm. I mean, those are the two classics. You're either Team Bigfoot or Team Gravedigger.
Which one were you?
Gravedigger,
all
course.
Day.
Yeah,
all day.
Exactly. Have you ever taken your boys to a monster truck show?
No, I haven't. I went myself as a child when I was living in San Diego at the time. I was young. But no, and I think they would enjoy it. Whenever you got little kids, loud noises, big vehicles, I feel like you're good.
Get the earplugs if you're going to Monster Jam.
Earplug that.
All three, I think you're going to have a really fun time at. I've never been to any PBR event, professional bull riding event. Have you?
No, I've been to a rodeo with barrel racing, you know, when they race horses around the barrels and stuff, but I've never been to like a bull ride type thing.
Yeah.
But you know, I live out in Monroe, so I'm sure it's out there somewhere.
You just got to ask somebody, and they'll hook you up.
Hey, just go down to the local Safeway.
Yeah. Hey, you guys doing any bull riding?
Bull riding coming up? What's going on?
Come right this way, sir. Hey.
What I need to know, what is the coolest car you've been in?
Coolest car I've ever been in. I have not been in many cool cars. I'm not a car guy.
Not a car guy.
I will say one time we showed up late to pick up a rental car, and all they had left were Chevy Camaros. So so it's like, all right, I guess we get the Camaro instead of our just regular sedan. So we ended up driving a Camaro for like a week.
Oh,
that
nice.
Was fun.
Did you open it up a little bit or what?
It was in Phoenix, you know, driving between Phoenix and Tucson.
Mm-hmm.
You've got I-10, which is not monitored by many police officers. So you can kind of, you know, let it go a little bit.
Let it go. Yeah. I would
What's the nicest car you've ever
I've been in is Dion Branch when he played with the Hawks and made a lot of money by the time we were teammates. And he drove around in a Bentley. And I sat in the back of a Bentley. It was like I was sitting in a Lazy Boy. My legs were all the way out. We got curtains on the windows. It was the smoothest ride I've ever been in. Thank you, Dion Branch, for that experience, because I will probably never make enough money to afford one of those.
Was it one of those Bentleys that also has like an umbrella in the window that like pops out and you can just carry the umbrella too?
Probably
had like Grey Poupon in the glove box, like the commercials.
A little partisan, you know what I'm saying? It was it was fancy. What I need to know: pancakes, waffles, or French toast?
I am going to say waffles 1,
mm-hmm.
pancakes 2, French toast 3, because French toast, there's just a lot that goes into it.
Yeah, you got to know what you're doing.
Yeah, you got to dunk your bread in the mm-hmm. in the egg and then fry it up. Waffles, I mean, they're so versatile. You can do anything you want with them. What are you going with, Bob?
I'm probably going French toast 1, pancakes 2, waffles 3. Even though big ups to waffles, because you have a whole different like food category with your name in it, waffle fries.
Yeah.
So you're very important in the food game.
Yeah, you're versatile is what you are.
Very versatile.
Have you ever put anything else besides like waffle batter in a waffle maker? I haven't ventured out.
I've seen those on Instagram.
Yeah, they put like cornbread batter or something like that. Or I don't know, eggs. Yeah. I've seen people crack eggs into their waffle maker and it makes like a egg sandwich. I don't know how that would work, because there's just a lot of cleaning of the waffle iron that you got to do after that.
Yeah, you got to be willing to put in the word clean.
Uh-huh.
All right, what I need to know, could you bench press Stacy?
Yes.
Many times. Like, she is one of the smallest people I know. So nice and small and petite. I bench press 135 20 plus times. So
there's your bench press.
There you go. I mean, she's lighter than that.
Yeah.
So I could definitely do it.
Yes.
Yes.
I don't know how many times I could bench press Stacy, but it could be done.
It can
multiple times.
Definitely be done. All right, what I need to know, which Mariners pitcher will lead the team in saves?
Now, you'd think it'd be Paul Sewald, just because he's kind of been the last guy to get the ball. most games.
Mm-hmm.
I do like how they don't do it with a set closer anymore, how they kind of just go with the hot hand at the time. I don't think it's going to be Seawald this year. I think it's between Andres Munoz and Matt Brash. I'm going to go Andres Munoz.
Okay. Last one real quickly because I like this. If you were to make a non-sports podcast, what would it be about? Mine will be about the dumb stuff people do throughout the day. Then just talk about this random dumb stuff people do. Material for days.
I would host a Survivor podcast.
Nice.
Yeah. Great episode last night, by the way.
Yeah, I need to get caught up. All right.
It's a great time to get in.
Great time. All right, I'm in there. What is it, season like 58?
44.
44. Okay. Hey, thank you guys for joining us. It's been the Bump and Stacey Show Dad Edition. My guy Rogers has been filling in. We got Brady Bones behind the glass. Coming up next is the Wyman and Bob Show from Peoria. Thanks, guys. We'll be right back.